Asiana's Boeing 777 pilot was still in training. An Alaska air taxi accident claims 11 lives. And Piper goes flying with 93 unleaded auto gas. This is Aero News for Tuesday, July 9, 2013. I'm Glenn Moyer. The pilot flying the Asiana Boeing 777 that went down on landing at San Francisco's International Airport Saturday had only 43 hours in type and was attempting his first landing at the airport in a 777, according to the airline, though Reuters reports he had landed at KSFO in other types of aircraft. NBC News reports that, according to Asiana Airline, pilot Lee Gang-guk had accumulated nearly 10,000 hours of flying time, but he had only 43 hours in a 777 prior to the accident. Reuters reports that he was the second most junior pilot aboard the flight. While he had flown into KSFO 29 times prior to the accident, it was his first landing at the airport in a 777. The president and CEO of Asiana Airlines said that the training is, quote, common in the global aviation industry. All responsibilities lie with the instructor captain, end quote. In a briefing posted on YouTube, NTSB Chairwoman Deborah Hirschman said that some initial information had been gleaned from the cockpit voice recorder recovered from the aircraft, including that, quote, a call to initiate a go-around occurred 1.5 seconds before impact, end quote. Hirschman cautioned that the information is still preliminary and that it is too early to rule out anything. Everything, she said, is on the table. A de Havilland DHC-3 Otter airplane flying for a air commuter service operating in Alaska went down Sunday at Soldotna Airport, located about 60 miles southwest of Anchorage. The airplane reportedly struck the runway and burned about 11:20 local time, according to FAA and local law enforcement officials. CNN reports that Soldotna police said that by the time first responders arrived on the scene, the airplane was completely engulfed in flames. All 10 people on board were killed. The Anchorage Daily News reports that, according to FAA records, the plane was operated by Radisky Air. Andrew Harcum, who said he was a spokesman for Radisky Air, told the paper that the pilot was 42-year-old Walter Radisky. The company is a family-owned business based in the Kenai Peninsula of Alaska. Walter Radisky is one of the registered owners of the company that was established in 1991. Piper Aircraft has completed flight test of a Piper Archer powered by 93-octane premium unleaded automotive gasoline. Piper worked with Airworthy Autogas LLC of Phoenix, Arizona, to prove the concept in a test flight regime conducted from the company's Vero Beach manufacturing campus. Piper President and CEO Simon Caldicott said, quote, as we search for more environmentally friendly fuels than 100 low-lead to power piston aircraft, Piper wanted to take the next step with Lycoming and Airworthy Autogas to operationally prove the 93 unleaded concept under rigid test conditions. Our next operational effort will include cross-country applications, working with Airworthy Autogas to ensure availability en route, end quote. Airworthy Autogas plans to produce and distribute its high-purity, low-vapor-pressure, ethanol-free 93-octane premium unleaded automotive gasoline beginning in the fall of 2013. If all goes according to plan, the Orion spacecraft will conduct an unmanned test flight in 2014. Consequently, the pace of assembling the spacecraft has stepped up at the Kennedy Space Center at Cape Canaveral, Florida. Workers there are reportedly working on the hundreds of systems and key components that will be part of the spacecraft. Technicians are already practicing stacking a mock-up of the launch abort system on top of the spacecraft inside the Mammoth Vehicle Assembly Building on the Florida coast. Practicing with the high-fidelity analogs of the actual spacecraft components will help the workers stay proficient with the process as they prepare for the launch next year and future manned missions. The equipment being used is the same gear employed for the 3 decades of the shuttle program. When Aero News continues, Bahamian taxes have gone up. Airline service could go down. Envisioning the chopper of the future and recreating history.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Aero News continues for Tuesday, July the 9th. I'm Glenn Moyer. Airlines, particularly those based in the U.S., are taking a hard look at their level of service to the Bahamas in the wake of new taxes recently imposed by that government. And at least one Bahamian senator has said the taxes represent a serious threat to tourism in the island nation. Airlines for America, A4A, warned recently that its members could take a hard look at the level of service provided to the Bahamas in light of the taxes, which include a $50 refueling stop and customs processing fee, along with an increase in departure taxes to include aircraft crew members. The Bahamian newspaper Tribune 242 reports that in a response, Senator John Bostwick, who is a member of the opposition Free National Movement Party, called on the government to, quote-unquote, urgently revisit the new taxes. A4A wrote a letter to Bahamian Customs Comptroller Charles Turner June 28th, saying that the new taxes and fees would cut into its members, quote, exceedingly slim profit margins, end quote, and that it could have an adverse impact on the overall Bahamian economy. The airlines had been looking at increasing the number of seats available to destinations in the Bahamas by 400,000 based on the expected increase in demand. That is now in question, according to Senator Bostwick. Sikorsky Aircraft has launched the 2013 Sikorsky Helicopter 2050 Challenge, a national competition that invites youth aged 9 through 16 to envision a helicopter capable of addressing global issues likely to be encountered by mid-century. Sikorsky is sponsoring the annual challenge for the third year with By Kids for Kids, a Connecticut-based organization whose educational content inspires kids to become successful inventors. The challenge honors company founder Igor Sikorsky, who in 1939 led an engineering team that developed a vertical lift machine whose core design is still used in 95% of all helicopters flying today. Theron Trujillo from Plumas Lake, California, was 15 years old in 2011 when he won the first ever Igor Sikorsky Youth Innovator Award. He envisioned a small unmanned helicopter that could carry critical relief supplies and electrical power to the scene of a natural disaster or other catastrophic event. The winner of this year's grand prize, the Igor Sikorsky Youth Innovator Award, will receive a $1,000 scholarship check, meet with Sikorsky rotorcraft engineers, and receive an expenses-paid tour of the Black Hawk and Seahawk helicopter assembly lines at Sikorsky's Stratford, Connecticut headquarters. Students can submit their entries for the Sikorsky Helicopter 2050 Challenge until September 30th via www.helicopter2050.com. Again, that's www.helicopter2050.com. This past week saw the recreation of an historic first flight. In 1913, just 10 years after the Wrights first flew at Kitty Hawk, North Carolina, 21-year-old Logan A. Jack Vilas was the first person to fly an airplane across Lake Michigan. The flight took place on July 1st, and it was the first time most people in Chicago had ever seen a seaplane. Vilas was only the sixth person in the U.S. to obtain a seaplane rating. His flight took an hour and 40 minutes, according to a report appearing in the South Bend, Indiana Tribune. And on the 100th anniversary of the flight, it was recreated by Vilas' granddaughter, 61-year-old Faith Vilas. Vilas reportedly received a hero's welcome in Chicago after his 54-mile crossing from Silver Beach in St. Joseph, Michigan. Faith made the trip in just 45 minutes, about half the time it took her grandfather. She and Derek DeReuter, who owns Northwoods Aviation in Cadillac, Michigan, flew an amphibious Cessna 185 belonging to Northwoods Aviation in clear weather across the lake. But it was not all clear, smooth air. The Windy City lived up to its name, and there was choppy water in the landing area when the two arrived in Chicago. Faith Velas said they had to make three approaches before making the water landing. Her option, she said, was to, quote, punt and land at the airport, end quote. I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks again for listening. You're now cleared for departure.